Hello and welcome to A Bookish Home. I'm Laura Zaro-Kopinski. Author and illustrator Juana Martinez-Neal joins me on the podcast this week to discuss her latest picture book, Alma and How She Got Her Name, which is my favorite picture book of the year. Juana is also the illustrator of La Madre Goose and La Princesa and the Pea, for which she won the 2018 Tara Belfry Award for illustration. We chatted about the backstory of Alma, Juana's journey as an illustrator, and ways this book can start important conversations in homes and classrooms. I hope you enjoy listening to more of the backstory of Alma and how she got her name. Juana Martinez-Neal, welcome to A Bookish Home. I could not be more excited to have a chance to speak with you, so welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura.
Yeah, so congratulations on the book, Alma and How She Got Her Name. Is my favorite picture book of the year. The illustrations are just stunning, and the book just totally melted my heart, and I love it so much. So I'm really excited to get to talk more about it with you and hear some more about how it was created. So for people who haven't read the book yet, could you describe it for us and share a little bit about what inspired it?
Sure. Alma is about a little girl with a really long name. Her name is Alma Sofia Esperanza Jose Pura Candela. And she feels a little overwhelmed with such a big name, she being such a little girl that is just learning to write and read, right? So she goes to her dad and asks, why did you give me this name? Why such a long name? And the dad starts telling her, it's basically a conversation between the dad and Alma, where the dad tells her the story of every single name and why he picked that name. And at the end, she comes to realize that, yes, it's the right name for her. And the most important thing is she has the freedom to pick who she wants to be and what story she wants to tell, because Alma has not been used before. It has not been, there was no relative before she was born within her family that was named Alma. So she has that freedom to make her own story. And that's when the book ends.
I love that line. I wrote that down where the dad says, I picked the name Alma just for you. You are the first and only Alma. You'll make your own story. I loved that
exactly.
So much. Yeah, it's just and after that,
she declares, Alma Sofia Esperanza Jose Pura Candela. That's my name, and it fits me just right. I am Alma, and I have a story to tell. And that's where the book closes,
Mm-hmm. So, I love that so much. So I'm curious what got you started with this particular book and what the inspiration was for it.
Well, I'm from Peru. I was born and raised in Peru. I moved to the U.S. when I was 24. When I was in Peru, I thought I wanted to be a painter, like a fine art painter. And I went to art school, but while I was in art school, my teachers who were traditional, fine artists were telling me, Juana, we like your work, but you're not an artist, you're an illustrator. And when that happened at the end of my third year, I didn't know what to do because illustration and children's illustration, even more so, were not careers in Peru. I mean, I did not know what an illustrator did at that time. I remember clearly asking my professor, so what is an illustrator? And their answer was, an illustrator is the person who paints backgrounds for the theater companies. When I heard that, I said, that's not what I want to do in my life.
Right.
So I needed some time to pause and reconsider what I wanted to do with my life. So that's when I come to Los Angeles. I moved to Los Angeles supposedly for a one-year break with the idea of going back to Peru and, continuing my fine art career. But as I came, things changed and life happened. And I've been here for like 24 years now. But while I was in Peru, I was an avid reader. I would read everything that would get in front of me. And like many, many writers do, I also wrote. But as I moved, I kind of lost, because of the language barrier and me trying to adapt to a new culture, a new language, a new life, I kind of like left my writing completely aside, thinking that, oh, I'll never be able to write again because now I'm writing, this is, you know, a whole different language. And it just was left apart on the side. So I started doing, after, you know, many, many years go by, but I get pregnant, I get married, get pregnant, have my second son. And as soon as, a month after my son is, second son is born, I decide that I want to do children's illustration. I find children's illustration because I didn't even know it existed.
Is that, what led to that? Were you reading lots of picture books with your own kids, or what?
No,
I
did not grow up. I did not grow up with picture books. I did not. My first connection to any sort of children's books is The Little Prince. And that happens when I'm 8. So everything that I read are novels and books that are meant for adults but feel a little younger, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know anything about, like, even like being a book for kids. So I have my children, and you know, we have some books, but it was not the trade beautiful picture books that I get to share with them now. It was more of like a commercial. You find them everywhere because I didn't even know of all these field, you know, that existed.
Mm-hmm.
When part of why I switched is I was doing well. I was doing graphic and web design at that time, and then the whole housing crash came, and I pretty soon the websites, you didn't need to hire someone to do websites. You can get a template for like $35. So I'm like, been left with, what do? I have no work. and then I have a little baby plus, 19-month-old also with me. And my husband, he told me all along, you need to go back to children's illustration, but I didn't want to hear. And, you know, a month after my baby's born, I go like, I think you're right. And I remember going to the computer and looking for like children's books writers, and the first thing that came up was SCVWI, Society of Children's Books Writers and Illustrators, and that's when I find the society, and then I find out that there's these conferences and that people get together and there's more authors and writers, and you know, all this world opens up, and within a month, they were having the regional conference here in Arizona. So I went, and I had no clue what they were talking about because I had no idea what I was listening to. But, and I remember they were saying, like, middle grade and chapter books, and I'm looking at everybody, and YA, and I'm looking to my left, looking to my right, and I have no clue what they were saying. Nothing. But yeah, that's
getting
like,
thrown right into the fire.
Yeah, and that's kind of get started, and you know, talking to people and having some really, really nice, mostly women, who took the time to like explain me things and help me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I get started into children's books. So then it comes to like, well, I can illustrate. I can do that. I can, you know, I have the technology. I can do these. And I have to practice and eventually get the project. But it's not until much later that I thought, well, maybe I can write. And I had this story. And they always tell you, write what you know. And it's so true. And I have this story about how my dad changed my name when I was born. And I don't know why, I thought, this is the story. I know this story. And that's Alma. That's how Alma got started.
That's so interesting. I saw that you had said he changed it on your birth certificate, right? It was
yes.
going to be Carla.
Carla.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he changed it to Carlota, yes.
And what? And you had talked about why he wanted to do that. He thought that was a stronger sounding name.
Yes.
Was that it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was a stronger person who will be called Juana Carlota Martinez Pizarro. That's what he thought. The name was, you know, I don't know, but I hated my name.
I thought you mentioned that, and I think probably a lot of kids can relate to, you know, maybe not loving their name at the beginning,
yes.
especially if it's something a little bit unique,
yeah.
but I don't know if you had the same experience, but I love how in the story, as she starts to learn all these interesting stories behind the different people that make up her name, she starts to really take so much pride in it and love it. Were any of those stories from your own family history, or
all of Alma's relatives are based on my own relatives. So,
oh wow!
The story when I started writing Alma, it was not Alma; it was the story of my name. It was actually my actual story of my name and how my dad changed it. But it felt so personal, and I kept getting stuck because I was telling the story, my story. It was just too much, and I don't like bringing attention to myself. So
mm-hmm.
I think that just continuously made me stop and get stuck. So it's not until I switched to the story of Alma and I add more names to the story that I'm able to actually write the book and start sketching, and which happened later.
That's so interesting. I'm always really drawn, I think, to those kind of semi-autobiographical
mm-hmm.
books, and that's interesting how it gives you a little bit more freedom to make it fiction, and that's interesting that was kind of making you stuck having it feel so personal and maybe a little bit private to be sharing
your own story. That's exactly what happened. Once I was telling the story as like Alma's story, I was able to say it, and like Esperanza is my grandmother Tota, my great-grandmother Tota Rosa, and Candela is my grandmother Fredes, who I call Milita, and the grandfather Jose is my grandfather Manuel. I mean, everybody is a relative. Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's so interesting. Well, I'm curious too, because you are the author and the illustrator, what that process was like. If you wrote it first, or if you had a strong image in your head of what Alma was going to look like first, kind of how that came to be.
I was never clear on what I was doing, not even until the end. there's a lot of back and forth. The biggest thing with me is staying focused. And when you have a manuscript who's given from some, you know, who's been written by someone else, I read it, I have the images, I know who they are, you know, I meet them and I'm telling their story. It's very, very streamlined, right? But when it comes to my own story, there's so many choices and so many ways I can go that I tend to get lost
mm-hmm.
within the work. So I really need a lot of redirection. and thanks God for, you know, my agent Stephanie and my editor Mary Lee Donovan, because thanks to them, you know, I have the book. it's very messy. It's really back and forth. I could write a little bit, then I get stuck, then I do thumbnails, and then I will write a little more, and then maybe do one or two sketches, go back to the writing, and then
mm-hmm.
tweak the writing for that particular spread, and I will get some pieces done, and then I have to put it all together, and that's when the problem presents. How do I put all these, you know, snippets into a whole full story? But you know, I think the more I'll do it, I'll get better, I hope.
I mean, I've said it before, but I just think, you know, sometimes you read a picture book and you love the pictures, but, you know, the story you like too, but, you know, not as much. And sometimes you love the writing and that's what really speaks to you. But, I mean, this one, the illustrations are just so lovely, so beautiful, and so many like intricate details, but then also the text is so wonderful. I mean, I think it's perfection. So
Thank you. That's my two cents.
Yeah. But the actual artwork itself, what do you use to create it? What's your process?
For Alma, I use graphite, which is pencil, and then color pencils, basically the pink that you see or the blue that you see. I use some color pencils for the grays, but not really much. Now for the photos of the relatives, what I did on that one was kind of like first I did the sketches, and I remember layering, you know, to add all the details, I added and added. And once I was finally happy with one of the photos, then I will reverse it and transfer it to the paper. Use that as a base and then add color pencils and graphite on top of that. So it was kind of like layers on that one. But when you see Alma or the grandfather, and that's just color pencils and graphite. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did it take a lot of experimenting to figure out the style? I mean, that's one of the things I think is so beautiful about it. It's just this soft feel to it, and kind of these like muted, just really wonderful colors. Did that take a long time to sort of figure out the style and the color palette?
I knew early on that the book had to be very limited in palette, and mostly at the beginning I thought it was going to be sepia tones, all browns, and because that's what all pictures are, right? When you look at your old pictures from relatives, they are either brownish, grayish, you know, those colors. And I knew that the main idea of Alma, to me, it had to feel like a photo album at the same time. That's what I wanted to do. And if that's the case, then all the photo albums that I loved and that I put together and you know, that I got and inherited are all black and white or, you know, sepia tones. So I knew early on I wanted a limited palette. And in some way, I knew I needed to add some color to the now, to the today images. And that's when I said, okay, so we're going to make the difference between everything that is Alma's will be pink reddish, and then everything that was owned by a relative will be, you know, you'll get to see it by putting it with that gray blue that I used. So it was an early decision. Now, initially I did a couple of sample pieces with browns instead of grays, but something was missing. I kept testing other things and trying other things. And it's not until I do the spread of I Am Sophia, which is her sitting on the tree, that and I said, okay, well, I want to try it with grays, like cool grays and warm grays, instead of making it too warm with the sepias. And that's the first spread that I do it, and I'm going like, yeah, this is the way I need to go. And I remember scanning it and sending it, and, you know, they agreed.
Well, I feel like there's so many details that kids, particularly I could see having really great discussions about this book with even upper elementary students, and really thinking about the style of the illustrations. I think this would be great for mock Caldecott. I am so rooting for this for a Caldecott. I would be, I'd be jumping up and down. I just think it would be, just really wonderful to get kids talking about the style and all the details and their own story.
Themselves. I mean, that I think one of the reasons why, even one of the reasons why I closed the book where I closed it, which is I have the author's note, and then it was going to be just the author's notes, but I go, no, I need to close it with questions, because this needs to go back to them. It needs to go back to the readers, either the children, the parents, the teachers, you know, to have that conversation. And to me, the book it's not the book itself, but what conversations that come after. I mean, I'm just giving them the little bit of information to get them talking. That's the whole idea of Alma.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm looking at the end. So the question is, what is the story of your name? What story would you like to tell? And I think that would be so powerful. So I've been in a school library in the past, and in terms of like getting to know one another at the beginning of the year and, mm-hmm. and even having those conversations in the classroom, what's the story of your name? And then, of course, oftentimes kids might not know. So I love that idea of using this as a way to have parents and children talk about where their name has come from and even where the parents' name has come from. And that's such a great jumping off point for those conversations.
Yeah, I think, you know, what it comes to is like we all come with a story. We all have a story. Sometimes we don't have a chance to like share it, but this book is meant for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even if, you know, in this case, Alma, you know, a lot of her family history is represented in her name, but even if it's not, I think mm-hmm. reading this story just gives parents a chance to talk about their own family history and important mm-hmm. people in the family. So yeah, I think that's,
and their heritage, wherever they come from. It doesn't need to be, they don't need to be only from Latin America. They don't need to be from here. They could be from anywhere, because we all, I mean, culture and carries so much power. It's so important, because it's who you are, it's your identity, and mm-hmm. we have to pass that on.
I had read on your website you had written about Alma, that idea that we're everyone that came before us, and at the same time we're uniquely ourselves. And I think that whole idea of we're everyone that came before us is so powerful, and you have to maybe know who those people are and where you came from, and for parents to be able to have those conversations, I think is really powerful. So I also saw that it said that you come from a family of artists. Is that part of how you got interested in it?
I don't know. I think, I mean, I every memory I have, I was, you know, drawing. And I think, funny enough, this is on my dad's side of the family. My grandfather was an artist. My father is an artist. My grandfather painted with oil, and he painted the indigenous people of Peru. But he was, this is back in the 30s and the 20s, and he, with a few group of other painters, they painted the indigenous people of my country, which is not very common, to be honest with you. And it was kind of like a school of painting that they established without even knowing, right? My father paints watercolors, and his work is very realistic looking. And mm-hmm. but he also paints indigenous people of Peru. He loves the clothing and the patterns and, you know, all of that. And now, when it came time for me to go to school, I knew I was going to do something art related. And first I thought I was going to be a graphic designer. That was my first idea. But when I went to art school, I realized that no, I really enjoy painting, and you know, I want to be a painter. I really do. Yet my work felt like illustration. And clearly, I mean, it makes sense.
Well, it worked out. It worked out. I'm curious too. Some of your earlier picture books, you had La Madre Goose, and you had La Princesa and the Pea. What was it like collaborating with another author? Is that kind of what led you to want to do Alma, to do the writing and the illustrating?
No. Not really. No. I love illustrating for books from other, you know, stories that are manuscripts from other authors. I really mm-hmm. do. I enjoy it. As I said, it's very streamlined. I get the manuscript. If I love it, I'll do it. If I'm not sure, I won't, because mm-hmm. I have to absolutely love the story in order to, you know, be able to work on it for 2-3 years. you know, of your life that you're putting in that book. So it's very easy. And I love that because there are some stories I just can't tell, you know. I wish I could, but I don't, or maybe I'm not, I don't know that I love that type of story yet. Yet when I read it, I absolutely fall in love with that story, and then I work on it. So,
well, I never thought of that it that way before. Sort of you, when you're the illustrator, in a way, you kind of get to be the reader first and then and fall in love with the story and then illustrate
it. You also need to find space, a manuscript that will give you space so you can actually put your side of the story. Because a picture book is a collaboration, right? If you were to look at the manuscript for That Being Says on the P, the manuscript was, when I got it, was very, very, not simple, but like there was not much information in it. So I could make anything of that story. It could have been a European style, you know, fairy tale, like normally was. But it just didn't feel right. So then I go into, how do I make this my story? So I need to go back to Peru and the indigenous people of Peru, because that's what I love, right? So
that's so interesting.
I think being an author illustrator is very interesting, and it gives you a lot of power because you have control over everything, like the writing, what you're writing, what you're illustrating. But at the same time, as I said, it's very easy to get, to me personally, it's very easy to get lost within the work. So it's two completely different processes of working. I love both, though. Yeah,
I never thought about it that way before. That's so interesting. And I love La Princesa and the Pea. I'm looking at it right now. And I remember when that won the Vera Belfry Award. What was that like? I mean, that's such a huge honor.
Yeah, it was a surprise.
Yeah, how did they call you and tell you?
I knew that they were going to, at that time, you know, I had never been to LA Midwinter or an LA event at all, right? So I'm very new to picture books. I mean, I've done picture books and I've illustrated other things, but I'm very, very new to all of these. Alma is just my third book. So there's a lot of things I hadn't done by then, before I got Alma, before Alma came, you know, was published. But so I knew that LA Midwinter was happening on Monday. And as a way to, like, I was thinking that, you know, well, you know, LA is happening, that there will be awards, and, you know, as a way to, like, get my head out of all of that, Hamilton happened to come to town for a month, and I go, okay, so this is a perfect day. We'll go Sunday, the day before, and celebrate going to go. The whole family will go to see Hamilton, and that's what we did. We went to see Hamilton, but what I didn't know is that apparently the Pura Belte Awards are called on Sunday, and I didn't know that. So the lights were going down when the first call got in. I couldn't pick up because I can't pick up. I have people around me.
Oh my God.
So, and then the phone rang a couple of more times, and then my husband picked up, but we couldn't hear, and then he hung up. But then we get more calls, and the phone keeps ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing. But we need to wait until the, you know, the break. And when we get to the mid part of the show, then I call back, and it was a number from Florida, and I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know what was happening. I thought maybe I started worrying, to be honest with you. I was like, I left my baby, our 5-year-old, with my parents. So I thought, like, maybe something happened.
Oh,
in the hospital.
And little do you know.
Yeah, or maybe it's my brother who's in California and it's like something happened. So then, you know, they call back and it was them. But as soon as I heard Pura Belpre, then I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries.
Sorry. as soon as I heard Pura Verde, then I started crying, and I didn't hear anything else. So the next morning, I said thank you, you know, and I cried, and I said thank you again, and thank you, and thank you, and I kept crying. And then the next morning at 8, I watched the webcast, because I didn't know what I had won.
Wow.
So,
that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, it's always so exciting. I always look forward to seeing all the books announced, and I will definitely be crossing my fingers for Alma. This year, and I just think this is such a great book to share with students and with people's own kids, and just such a special picture book. And I guess to end, I always just like to ask the people that I talk to if there's a book they've been reading lately, either a kid's book or an adult book that they would want to recommend. Is there anything you've read lately you'd want to share with listeners?
Yeah. Could we more than one?
Oh, of course, yes. The more the better.
Yeah, okay, so two picture books that I could recommend. Pearl by Molly Idol, that is coming out next Tuesday.
Okay.
Then there's Let's Have a Dog Party by Michaela Prevost. They both are my friends, really good friends. That's coming out in April.
Oh, great.
With Viking, so both picture books. And then if we were to go to books, like longer books, I love The Epic Fail of Arturo Zamora by Pablo Cartaya. Really, really enjoy it. And then Stella Diaz Has Something to Say by Angela Dominguez. It's a really, really sweet younger book. Very, very touching. And then The 57 Bus by Dashka Slater, A Mile Unbound by Aisha Said. And if I were to go to adult books, I have two. Homegoing by Yaga Yasa.
I love Homegoing.
I love it. I love 100 Years of Solitude. That was like when I read it when I was 18, and that like changed my mind, my life, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time I read a book and I have the same feeling. It was amazing. Yeah. And then the other one, Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Oh, wonderful. That's such a great list, and I will make sure to link to all of those in the show notes if people want to check those out. And then, of course, I'm just wondering what we can expect next from you, and if there's another book in the works.
Yes. Baby Moon is coming out from – it's written by Haley Barrett. I illustrated it. It's coming out from with – Kanda Book is publishing it. It's coming out in April. I think it's April 4th next year. And then in the fall next year, too, I have a book with Kevin Noble Maylard. The name of the book is Fry Bread, and it's coming with Rowan Brook Press. Those two are illustration only in 2019. And then right now I'm painting Swashy and the Sea by Beth Ferry. She's a Mifflin Harcourt. That will be spring of 2020. And then my second author illustrator will be fall 2020.
Oh, wow. So we have lots to look forward to. That's great. Well, I can't wait to read more of your books and see more of your beautiful illustrations. And I'm just so happy I got to speak with you today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it so much.
I hope you head to your local library or bookstore to pick up Alma and How She Got Her Name. You can find out more about Juana Martinez Meal on her website, juanamartinezmeal.com, which I'll also link to in the show notes. There you will also find links to all the books mentioned in this episode. And if you'd like to keep up to date on bookish happenings, you can follow me on Twitter, @abookishhome, or on Instagram, also @abookishhome. If you're enjoying the podcast, be sure to subscribe so that you'll get notifications about new episodes. And it would be so helpful if you could rate and review this podcast in iTunes to help people find it. Thanks for listening, and happy reading.